keep on dreaming of living in that perfect world, even though we're watching the insanity roll around us. You can always dream, right? Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of The Daily Perspective. It is the first Friday edition of a new year, January 4th, 2019. And you know, it's been a while since we've actually celebrated the fact that it is finally Friday. So why not?
I'm going to take the next 2 days off. How's that?
Hey, who's been messing with the radio? This isn't alternative rock.
Wow. Hillary Clinton's asking us for money. Will her string of mistakes never end?
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
I've got $100 smoking in my billfold.
Oh, yeah.
I know I ought to save it, but it's burning a hole.
What a maroon.
I threw my pocket and into my skin.
That's not funny.
On Monday morning, I'll be broke again.
Bueller.
It's finally Friday. I'm free again.
And page 45.
I got my motor running for a wild weekend.
Funky.
It's finally Friday. I'm out of control.
Bueller.
Forget the working blues and let the good times roll.
Well, you've got one heck of a nerve.
I got a little sugar baby.
It's a man, baby.
She's sitting on a radium and rocking on gold.
Bueller.
Dance up a storm and later on the night. We'll be working on doing all the wrong things right.
You're right.
It's Friday, it's Friday. I'm free again.
Would you like to buy a bow?
I got my motor running for a wild weekend. It's finally Friday. I'm out of control.
This is odd.
Forget the working blues and let the good times roll.
To infinity and beyond.
In a world where laughter was king.
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to like me to throw away the key.
Golfers!
My name, Osai Mana.
Monday I'll be hurting with my head in a vice.
Bueller.
Tuesday I'll be wondering if I'll ever survive.
What's up, deplorable?
Wednesday and a Thursday I'll be slowly tuning in.
Name it, Bobby.
Friday I'll be revving up my motor up.
Bueller.
I'll have a cheese.
Stop breaking the rules!
Whack, whack!
Got my motor running for a wild weekend.
Nice. It's
finally Friday.
Respect my authority!
Get the working blues and let your good times roll.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Thank God it's Friday! Welcome to Friday. Wow, thank God it's Friday. Oh man, what a week we've had. We've rung in a new year. There's a new House of Representatives controlled by the Democrats. There's cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. It's just been crazy. And we're going to talk about some of that on today's edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Thanks so much for being here. I'm glad you are here, however and wherever you may be. Whether you're listening live on Facebook Live as this goes down on this Friday morning, or you're listening to the podcast at a later time, possibly walking to work in Hawaii, or wherever you may be, Hawaii, Great Britain, South America, who knows, Alaska. Thanks for being here. It's good to have you along for the ride. And hopefully today will be an entertaining ride and informative as well. What's up today? Well, Tucker Carlson's in trouble again. He's apparently ticked off some feminists. So what else is new? We'll take a look at that. Hopefully we can get to that. A Muslim congresswoman has been sworn in, and she was sworn in on Thomas Jefferson's copy of the Quran. We'll take a look at that story and why it's actually important. And it's not for the reason she says it's important. The Democrats have introduced a bill to eliminate the Electoral College because it's just not fair. We'll take a look at that a little bit later on. A Democrat has filed articles of impeachment immediately after the House takeover. We'll look into that story, and then we'll start with this one. Nancy Pelosi Aunt Nancy is once again the Speaker of the House. Yesterday, she recaptured the Speaker's gavel as her party returned to power in the House of Representatives, overcoming more than a dozen defections from rebellious Democrats. They were not unified in having Aunt Nancy back at the helm again. Not at all. She wields a great deal of power and influence. And it's that power and influence that got her the gavel back. Not the fact that she is, not the fact that she's ethical, because I don't think she is. Not for any other reason. It's power and influence. And the potential for control for power-mad Democrats. That's why she's back. She was elected with 220 votes to 192 for Republican Representative Kevin McCarthy. In her new role, she'll immediately confront the ongoing standoff over the partial government shutdown, even as she tries to set her party's agenda for the 116th Congress, and her deputies wield new power to investigate the Trump administration on multiple fronts. Multiple false fronts. Pelosi, who previously served as Speaker for two terms, has eyed a return to the position ever since Republicans took the House in 2010. In her floor speech marking her return to power, Pelosi vowed to pursue lower health care costs, address climate change, and tackle other Democratic priorities as Speaker, saying, quote, "The American people spoke and demanded a new dawn in November's elections." Wow, really? Did they? She also made reference to the historic number of women serving in the House, saying, "I'm particularly proud to be the woman Speaker of the House of this Congress, which marks 100 years of women having the right to vote." Her return, though, wasn't guaranteed after Democrats flipped control of the chamber in November. Some Democrats campaigned on opposing Pelosi's return to the speakership, calling for new leadership. But in recent weeks, Pelosi, who first entered Congress in 1987, I want you to think about that, she has been a member of Congress, living off of your tax dollars, partially, since 1987. Over 30 years, she has been in the House of Representatives. 30 years. There are others who have been there longer. This is true. But our founders never intended for this to be a full-time job, much less a career. She won over enough critics to secure the job again, in part by agreeing to term limits for the Speaker's office. Still, 15 Democrats refused to vote for Pelosi. Others getting votes for Democrats included former Vice President Joe Biden, Georgia Representative John Lewis, former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, and Representative Joe Kennedy III of Massachusetts. Several Republicans, too, voted for someone other than California Republican Kevin McCarthy, who becomes House Minority Leader, or as he said this morning on the news, I saw him in a quick shot on the news this morning, he said, "I like to refer to myself as the Republican leader." they were thinking more like Ohio Representative Jim Jordan and Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey. They both got votes. Pelosi's ascent also marks the return of divided government in Washington, the first time in Donald Trump's presidency that Republicans do not control both chambers of Congress, though Republicans still control the Senate. That's important. That shift in power comes as the White House and Congress have yet to come to a resolution to end the partial government shutdown tied to Trump's desire for border wall funding. The House starts with 434 members. The House has not received a certification from North Carolina's 9th Congressional District as of yet, where there are allegations of voter fraud in the race between Republican Mark Harris and Democrat Dan McCready. By the way, please remember, voter fraud never happens. It's never enough. Never, 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 never enough to sway an election. Remember that as the Democrats fight and claw to take that election back. As the first orders of business on Thursday, the House will consider two bills to reopen the government. But Republicans in the Senate and the president are not expected to support that effort, as it doesn't include new funding for Trump's proposed border wall. While their most pressing issue will be trying to find a way out of the partial government shutdown that's been in effect for nearly 2 weeks, scrutiny of the Trump administration will be up next. on the list of priorities. Those Democrats armed with subpoena power include Representative Jerry Nadler. You've seen this piece of work. He's been in the news lately. Piece of work. I cleaned that up a lot. Just want you to know. He's the incoming chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Representative Elijah Cummings, Maryland Democrat. He's another piece of work. He's the incoming chairman of the House Oversight Committee. And Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat from California. Whew. He loves the TV cameras, by the way. He loves the cameras. He's the incoming chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. See what they're doing? They're stacking these committees with people who will waste your money and government time on frivolous investigations of our president for purely political purposes. These people are casting, have already cast all of the characters for the next 4 years of political theater. Next 2 years, next 4 years, as long as they can hang on. In a press release Wednesday, Cummings said his committee plans to investigate waste, fraud, and abuse in the Trump administration, as well as other issues that affect the American people every day. It's interesting he wasn't at all concerned about those things during the Obama administration. Not at all. But suddenly it's important. The looming congressional probes amount to another front in Trump's ever-expanding battle with institutions ranging from the mainstream media to Robert Mueller's investigation, all coming as Democrats flirting with the 2020 bid also train their political sights on the administration. Areas of interest probed by these committees could cover everything from Trump's ousting of Attorney General Jeff Sessions to Trump's past tax returns as a businessman to Trump's relationship with adult film star Stormy Daniels. All of these things that they have tried to make issues in the past and have failed because, honestly, the people who care and who vote don't care. But they're going to make them issues. They're going to beat the drum. Nobody wants to listen to making all that noise. They're just going to. You know what that reminds me of? The toddler. Mom, 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 mom. They just keep on going until finally somebody snaps. On Thursday, one Democratic congressman said he plans to take advantage of the new majority by introducing articles of impeachment against Trump. Representative Brad Sherman is reintroducing the impeachment articles that he first filed in 2017 with Democratic co-sponsor Representative Al Green of Texas. Those guys, they're like the band that knows one song. You know what I mean? The garage band, those guys, the kids that play in the garage, and they've got that one song. Ah, let's do that song. It's the one we know. Still, Democratic Party leaders have not committed to pursuing impeachment. Pelosi said in an interview with NBC yesterday, we have to wait and see what happens with the Mueller report. We have to pass it to see what's in it. We shouldn't be impeaching for a political reason. Blah! And we shouldn't avoid impeachment for a political reason. We have to see. Wow. What a piece of work she is. So Aunt Nancy has her gavel again. I've joked about her going out and buying a bigger one, you know. She has a bad case of gavel lust. Well, it's being satisfied now. God love her. And the Democrats are back in charge. And we can see where their priorities truly lie. They don't lie with the good of the country. They don't lie with the needs of the everyday American. Their priorities lie with their lust for power and control. That's where their priorities lie. And they're playing on the emotions and the ignorance, that's the only way I can put it, of a broad swath of American people. Because they know that a lot of people in this country don't do their due diligence when it comes to researching what's going on in Washington, D.C. They just hear the news. They see what's going on. They understand only what is being told to them by newscasters on the alphabet networks. and on the cable news channels. And they only go that deep. And they go to their favorite websites, like Huffington Post, Mother Jones, and the like, and get more opinion from the leftist echo chamber. And then their favorite celebrities are also parroting the talking points from the echo chamber. And these people in D.C. know that's going on, and that's who they're playing to, which is why it's important for you and I to do our due diligence. You are listening to The Daily Perspective, a little adventure into the land of life, liberty, and absurdity. That is The Daily News. I'm your not-so-humble host, Mark Congleton. Okay, I know I say sometimes humble. And sometimes I am humble. Not today. It is a Friday edition of the show as well, and we're looking at the news that's happened since in the last 24 hours or so. And we've had this new batch of Congress people elected to the House of Representatives, Democrats, who were sworn in yesterday. And the repercussions of them taking control of the House again. And something I said a while back was that that they're not going to be concerned with actually doing the business of government, which is the business of the people. They are going to be concerned with pursuing their agenda. And their agenda is absolute power and absolute control. And in order to get that absolute power and control, they have to deprive the Republicans, wherever they may be, in whatever office they may hold, they have to deprive Republicans of any margin of success whatsoever. It's going to be difficult because, in spite of all of the hoopla over Democrats taking the House, they took it by the smallest margin in recent history. Those who were projecting an overwhelming turnover prior to the election were wrong. Yes, they won control, but they won it by a very small margin. And on the other side, in the Senate, they lost even more control. And as legislation passes from the House to the Senate is the deciding body, which will rewrite legislation and send it back to the House, which now under Democrat control will pitch a hissy fit, go run for the nearest news camera and campaign about their legislation being butchered by the Republicans in the Senate, and then nothing will happen. And if they manage to get anything at all done, hopefully President Trump will be wise enough to veto anything that doesn't fit the agenda that we all voted for when we elected him as president. And I say we because, yeah, I voted for him. And my dad asked me, so what do you think about the new president? I said, listen, it boils down to this. When it came to the choice, the final choice we had, if it was him or Hillary Clinton, it wasn't a choice. It was Donald Trump. And before that, and I really don't like getting into political conversations with family because I have, you know, I've said this before. I've watched this happen and I know where a lot of my family members, most of my family members get their information from. It's from the evening news because I've been visiting and ding, it's time for the news and the news comes on and what we get is NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. That's what we get. So they get their information from sources that are tainting the information and applying a serious liberal bias to it. So I don't like talking politics with family simply because I'd rather have the time that I have with family is rare enough that I'd rather not spoil it by being angry because that's eventually what's going to happen. Don't want that happening. I think you understand. Well, the Democrats, now that they are in power in the House by this little margin that they have, are moving forward with their true agenda, and that is to deprive Donald Trump of any success or power that he has, and California Democratic Representative Brad Sherman wasted no time introducing articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump. He filed them as his first order of business in the new Democrat-controlled House of Representatives. So we see where his priorities are. Nancy Pelosi may say, no, 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 this is not our priority. But she's lying. Sherman, who authored the resolution and has introduced it once before in 2017, told the LA Times he does not believe there's any compelling reason that Congress should waver or delay in taking action against Trump. To that end, Sherman preempted his own party leadership and filed the resolution calling for Trump to be removed from office. He told the LA Times, there's no reason it shouldn't be before the Congress. Every day, Donald Trump shows that leaving the White House would be good for our country. Really? Did you see the job numbers from December? I think it was 314,000 new jobs. Have you seen the growth of employment and the shrink of unemployment? Have you seen the economic advance we've made in this country? Have you seen how happy the people are with the way things are going? In order to find unhappy people, you have to go deeper and deeper into leftist delusional countryside, not countryside, but into the areas that are controlled by leftist progressives. Those people refuse to be swayed by the facts because their minds are made up. Sherman's resolution calls for Trump to be impeached for, quote, threatening and then terminating former FBI Director James Comey because Comey was, quote, conducting one or more investigations into Russian state interference in a 2016 campaign. That's according to the Daily Mail. Let's clarify something here. Comey was not released for that reason. We know why he was released. Comey is a liar. He is a politically active manipulator. And he is a leftist. Oh, but he's served Republicans and Democrats, and he was a registered Republican. Yes, was. It was politically expedient for him to be registered as a Republican. He was by no means a conservative. His behavior, focusing only on the Hillary Clinton investigation, where he had already composed his decision to just let her slide on everything she did with the email servers and the like, and the fact that they never actually got their hands on that stuff. If it had been you or me, they would have been tearing the floorboards up in our houses to find an email server. But for her, they just said, hey, yeah, you might want to give that to us. But, you know, when it's convenient. He already made his mind up and had already composed everything he would have to say about letting her slide before they had actually done much investigation. It's just insane. Well, Sherman says he may add additional articles later, but wanted to file the first document as a challenge to his Democratic colleagues who have yet to express their support for pursuing impeachment. Quote, every member of the House will have to address whether there are formal articles of impeachment pending. Sherman is no stranger to impeachment proceedings. He filed an identical document in 2017, almost said last year. See, I'm still writing 2018 on things. But he failed to get more than a single supporter for his effort. His bill was briefly co-sponsored by Representative I'm nuts, Green, a Democrat from Texas, but Green went on to file his own articles of impeachment against President Trump over Trump's travel ban. The Daily Mail reports that a third Democrat, Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee, howdy y'all, also filed articles of impeachment accusing President Trump of obstruction of justice for firing Comey and violating the Constitution's emoluments clause, which prevents the president from directly profiting from his own foreign policy decisions. By the way, just so you know, and you need to do your own research on this, please, please do not just accept my word for it. Do your due diligence. But Trump's net worth has dropped, and he turns over his paycheck and donates it to charity. We still pay him. The law says he has to be paid. And originally he said, I don't want you to pay me. But the law said he has to be paid. So he takes that paycheck each quarter and donates it to charity. So he is not benefiting financially from being in office. Charities are benefiting from his being in office. Also, his net worth has been dropping since he became president. He is not directly profiting from his own foreign policy decisions. So when your leftist liberal friends trot out the emoluments clause phrase, talking about how he's benefiting, his businesses are benefiting. No, his net worth is actually dropping and he is not getting paid. Well, he's turning his pay over to charity. So every day he's in office, he's losing money. Keep that in mind. That bill, by the way, died in committee. It did eventually catch 13 co-sponsors. Even in the Democratic-controlled Congress, though, impeachment isn't likely to pass. The House can vote on articles, but it can't remove the president from office. And the Democratic majority is still slim enough that success on an impeachment vote is not guaranteed. But honestly, between you and me, that's not what is important to these people. What's important is the political theater. What's important is the visuals. Tying the word impeachment to the president is extremely important to these people because they know so many people aren't really paying attention. They just see Donald Trump, impeachment, and they form an opinion based on just that much information. And the Democrats know that. And that's how they play this game. It's all about power for them. Never, ever forget that. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. You're there. That's a good arrangement because I've got all these buttons and knobs. They're already confusing enough. So you just sit back and I'll drive. Okay. It's the Friday edition of the podcast. Glad you're along. And I hope you've signed up for the newsletter. The Daily Perspective newsletter comes your way every day. Actually, it comes your way probably less than half an hour after the end of the show each day. And what does that get you? Well, I'll tell you what it gets you. It gets you the show notes from the day's show. I'm not posting those online anymore, so the only way you'll get the show notes is to subscribe to the newsletter. So get in there today. Go to the Mark and Mac Show website, markandmacshow.com or markcongleton.com, or go to our Facebook pages, The Daily Perspective or The Mark and Mac Show Facebook pages. Click the links to sign up and get involved and be part of the family that gets The Daily Perspective Show into your inbox every day. How about that? All right, then. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hopefully you're having a great day and that you're understanding what's really happening in our country, because what's happening in our country is a lot of political theater. The Democrats have taken over the House of Representatives by a very slim margin, and they're playing it as though it's a dynamic change, like it's a huge victory, like the nation has spoken. They hate Donald Trump and they want new leadership and a new direction. And that's nothing but BS. I'll be honest with you. It's just BS. The Democrats are so consumed with power and control that it doesn't matter if truth is involved or not. All you have to do to learn that is just watch them for a few days. Here's an example. Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee, introduced two bills yesterday, one to eliminate the Electoral College and the other to prohibit presidents from pardoning themselves or their family members. By the way, neither one of these bills would have been introduced had a Democrat been elected. If Hillary Clinton had been elected president, I'll take that back. She would have pushed for the elimination of the Electoral College. The Democrats still would have done that. So I stand or sit corrected. But the other, prohibiting presidents from pardoning themselves or family members? Nah, they never would have pushed that. Because if one of their own was in office and they had a family member with issues, And on their last day in office, you know, when they usually do that flurry of pardons and let people go in the last few hours before they're out of power, you can count on convicted felons who are relatives of that president being pardoned. A press release from Cohen's office stated that the senior member of the House Judiciary Committee introduced two constitutional amendments today on the opening day of the new Congress. The first would eliminate the Electoral College and provide for the direct election of the president and vice president of the United States. Oh, God, what a horrible thing that would be. The second would limit the presidential pardon power by prohibiting presidents from pardoning themselves, members of their families, and members of their administrations or campaign staff. In two presidential elections since 2000, here we go, including the most recent one in which Hillary Clinton won 2.8 million more votes than her opponent, the winner of the popular vote did not win the election because of the distorting effect of the outdated Electoral College, says Cohen. Americans expect and deserve the winner of the popular vote to win office. Well, that just proves how ignorant Americans are. More than a century ago, we amended our Constitution to provide for the direct election of U.S. senators. It's past time to directly elect our president and vice president. Ooh, let's stop there for a moment, shall we? More than a century ago, we amended our Constitution to provide for the direct election of U.S. senators. What a monumental con job that was. That's the 17th Amendment. That's what I've referred to on several occasions here. The 17th allows senators to accept campaign contributions from outside of their home state. It allows them to campaign outside of their home state. It allows them to become politically active on a national level rather than representing their home state. Do you think that's right? How can you think that's good for your state? You see, we live in the United States of America. Not USA. Not the USA. It's not one big state. We live in a collection of states. Your state, where you live, decides its own path politically. Your state, where you live, decides laws. Your state, where you live, is its own little country, more or less. Now some are saying, oh, that's not true. Okay, fine, whatever. But for the sake of understanding, your state is part of a collection of states known as the United States of America. The federal government is there for a reason, and that is so that all of these states get along and work well and play well together. That's why the federal government exists. And to protect this collection of states from enemies, both abroad and here. That's why it exists. But over the years, since our founding, politicians, drunk with power and the acquisition of power, have done things like amending the Constitution to allow for the direct election of U.S. senators. This is why I'm in Alabama. This is why the state of Alabama has Doug Jones as a senator. Because the 17th Amendment allowed for funding, campaigning, and the like to come from beyond the borders of the state. A lot of money came from New York and California. Millions and millions and millions of dollars came from socialist, leftist, progressive strongholds to make sure Doug Jones got elected. They motivated people. They demonized people. They did everything they could, and it was nasty because the 17th Amendment allowed it to be so. The 17th Amendment is bad. Very, very bad for this country. That's why people like Nancy Pelosi are on the news every day. That's why people like Maxine Impeach 45 Waters are on the news speaking across the country every day. the 17th Amendment has done more damage, so much more damage to our nation and to your state, regardless of where you live. It's done more damage than it did help. Far more. And these people want the same thing to happen on a national scale. It's just loony. In the show notes today, this is one reason to subscribe to the newsletter. In the show notes today, I'm going to provide a link to a PragerU video about the popular vote versus the Electoral College. I really, really want you to watch that video. Because, well, you know what? I'll post that link in the on our social media as well. Because it's that important. You need to understand why these 51 separate processes exist side by side in harmony. Why they don't and can't interfere with each other. Why California's election code only applies to California and just determines that state's electors. Why we can't have somebody in Texas change an elector's vote in another state. Why we can't have these things happening in our country. Why it's so vitally important for you and I to defend the Electoral College. Because if we don't have the Electoral College, then what happens is vast portions of this country don't get representation. When our president runs for office, he will run only where the most votes are. And I know some of my liberal friends have said, well, that's bull, because with the internet, you can campaign everywhere. Really? Seriously? Go back and look at Barack Obama campaigning. The infamous 57 states quote. You know, a lot of people on the right, and I wagged my finger at them. No, no, no. Don't use that. That's dumb. They said, see, he doesn't even know how many states there are. Oh, he knows how many states there were. He knew. If you watch the videos, he's almost rolling his eyes when he says that. He'd been on the campaign trail. He'd been going from state to state to state to state to state, one after another, forgetting where he was sometimes. Put yourself in those shoes. You're on the road talking to people in place after place after place. You have to have people tell you where you are. Okay, where are we now? All right. Because after a while, it all just becomes a blur. And he said, I think they're 57. I mean, and people latched onto that like, he's a moron. He's an ignoramus. No. That was just him saying he was tired because he'd been campaigning everywhere. Why? Because they have to. They have to go places and actually see people and shake hands and talk to people state after state after state, because if they aren't required to, they won't. They won't do it. Do you think Idaho would get a visit from a presidential candidate if they weren't required by law to be there? Do you think Wyoming would get a presidential visit? Nah. Wouldn't happen. They're not hotspots for progressives. They're not major population centers. But those places produce things that are consumed by the population centers. So they're every bit as important. And the opinions and the values of the people there matter just as much. But not to progressives. Because all they care about is power and control. Thank you so much for listening to The Daily Perspective. It means a lot to me to know that you're there. As we wrap things up today, let's see, what do we got, about 10, 12 minutes, something like that? I don't read watches, just not my job. I had the dog do that, and she's just not talking to me today. We've had a couple of Islamic members elected to the House of Representatives, and one of them had some interesting things to say with regard to the history of Islam in America. And it's all completely wrong. It's all bogus. It's just smoke. And I want to address that. The Quran, owned by former President Thomas Jefferson, was the book upon which newly elected Muslim Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, I know I'm not pronouncing it right. I don't know how it's pronounced. She was sworn into the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday. Now, according to The Hill, she made history as the first Palestinian-American woman to join the lower chamber of Congress. She also joins alongside recently elected Representative Ilhan Omar to be one of the first two Muslim congresswomen. Translated into English by George Sale in 1734, Jefferson's copy of the Quran resides in the Library of Congress, according to the Detroit Free Press. Tlaib told the Free Press she chose Jefferson's Quran to highlight that Islam goes back a long way in the United States. Quote, "It's important to me because a lot of Americans have this kind of feeling that Islam is somehow foreign to American history. Muslims were there at the beginning. Some of our founding fathers knew more about Islam than some members of Congress now." I'm going to come back to this. Go ahead and stick a sticky note right there. I'm coming back to it. Tlaib added that she believes in secular government and does not wish to make a religious point by using the Quran. She said, "My mere existence that I'm even of Muslim faith is going to be a problem for them, with or without me swearing in on any Quran. I believe in secular government, and my swearing in on the Quran is about me showing that the American people are made up of diverse backgrounds, and we all have love of justice and freedom. My faith has centered me. The Prophet Muhammad was always talking about freedom and justice," she added. I would suggest she only knows what she's been told about what the Prophet Muhammad has actually said. And I would also say that a lot of people who sit in church pews every Sunday only know what they've been told about their faith. And if you're offended by that, open the book instead of letting other people tell you what it says. Tlaib said in an Instagram post last month that she was going to wear a traditional Palestinian gown at the swearing-in ceremony. Well, good for her. The Jefferson Quran was previously used for the swearing-in of Representative Keith Ellison 12 years ago. We're all familiar with that piece of work. No requirement exists in Congress for someone to be sworn in upon the Bible or any other book. The official swearing-in happens at the beginning of every new Congress when the House Speaker asks all members to rise, raise their right hands, and take the oath of office. Now, let's go back here to where we put down the sticky note. "It's important to me because a lot of Americans have this kind of feeling that Islam is somehow foreign to American history. Muslims were there at the beginning. Some of our founding fathers knew more about Islam than some members of Congress now. This is a complete misrepresentation." In 1734, George Sale translated the Quran into English because Thomas Jefferson wanted to be able to understand the religion of the Barbary pirates. The United States was having a lot of problems in shipping and doing commerce worldwide because pirates were raiding ships and stealing and killing and enslaving people who worked on those ships. And those pirates were Muslims. So Thomas Jefferson sought to better understand the motivation of these people, what drove them to do what they were doing. And in order to do that, he dug into their religion. And he did so to warn the government of what they were dealing with. The Quran existed in his possession, not as a demonstration that Muslims were there at the beginning, not to show that some of our founding fathers knew more about Islam than some members of Congress now, although that's true, Thomas Jefferson knew more about Islam and was warning Congress about it all that time ago. That's why there's an English version of the Quran in the Library of Congress. Not because Islam has always been woven in as part of our nation's history, and because it has contributed to our nation in positive ways, but because Thomas Jefferson was warning this nation about what drives Islam to do what it does. Murdering, stealing, enslaving people. That's why it was there. But you won't hear about that on the evening news. You won't hear about that on CNN. You probably won't hear about that on Fox News. In order to learn that, you have to dig and do your own due diligence. You have to learn why Thomas Jefferson had a Quran translated into English. You have to learn that. And you can't learn that from politicians or the press, because they're not concerned with truth when it is conflicting with their ideology and their plans for this country. You have to do your own digging. So please remember that. When you see these people talking about Islam being woven into our society from the very beginning, they're telling a lie. They're completely misrepresenting Islam and our society. Those who are honest about Islam today will tell you that it seeks dominance of everything, because Muhammad, this insane child molester, sought nothing but dominance of his religion over the entire world. And the imams in his religion today publicly teach the same thing. It's denied by the press. Where was it? Was it in England? It happened over this holiday week, so things are a little blurry. But some guy is arrested. He's hurting people. He's jumped from a car, he's cutting people, shouting Allahu Akbar, and the news reports say his motivation is unclear. This is where we are today. The progressive press will not tell you the truth when it conflicts with what they want the world to be. Politicians will not tell you the truth when it conflicts with their agenda. So in order to find the truth, you and I have to do our own legwork. We have to do our own due diligence and learn what's really going on. And to that end, I will tell you, don't stop with just listening with what I have to say, or anybody on talk radio, or any conservative with a podcast, or any conservative who is a talking head on any news network, including Fox News. Do your own digging. Learn to discern. After you do your own digging for a little while, you'll begin to get a sense of what is true and what is not, and what is hyperbole and what is not, and what has been tinted by personal beliefs and what is not. And you'll begin to see truth for what it is. That's so important today, because we have to know the truth in order to be made free. And that is a principle that's eternal. And that is going to wrap up this Friday edition and this rather short week of the Daily Perspective in this new year. Hopefully you'll have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing you back here on Monday. God bless. Bye-bye.